Before we jump into today's episode, I want to know, are you feeling constantly tired, stressed, or stuck in survival mode, even though you're doing all the right things? My best-selling book, Optimal You, Supercharge Your Energy, Strengthen Your Immunity, was written for people just like you. It's a guide for those of us living in the modern chaotic world who want to optimize your health, prevent burnout, and take back control of your energy and well-being. I'm so proud to share that Optimal You is an Amazon number one bestseller and has been shortlisted at the Business Book Awards in the wellness and well-being category, recognized for its science-backed, practical, and truly holistic approach to long-term health. Inside the book, I share the exact framework I use in clinic, from the 8 core pillars of health to the 4 essential lifestyle S's. Whether you're struggling with niggling symptoms, feeling low in energy, getting sick more often, struggling with autoimmunity, or you simply want to feel like yourself again, this book will meet you where you are. Available now in hardback, paperback, and on Kindle, just search Optimal You by Nicole Good on Amazon or visit optimalyoubook.com for all the links. Because your health shouldn't be on hold and the optimal version of you is waiting.
Welcome to the Good Health Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Good, a certified functional medicine practitioner, registered nutritionist, and author. In this podcast, we delve into the world of energy and immune health and wellness with positivity, from optimal health and energy to stress and burnout, right through to immune conditions such as thyroid and autoimmune disease. We deep dive into functional medicine, nutritional medicine, and lifestyle medicine, as well as the personal stories of our amazing guests, from Olympians to famous faces and guest experts from all different parts of the health and wellness world. It's time to stop letting your health hold you back and become the optimal version of you. Don't forget to come and join the conversation on Instagram at good_health, that's G-O-O-D-E, or visit the website nicolegoodhealth.com to find out more.
Did you know that around 80% of people with autoimmune conditions experience some form of chronic joint pain? Whether it's a dull ache that never quite goes away, it's stiff joints when you wake up that makes it really hard to get out of bed and get moving in the morning, or more of a sharp, stabbing pain that flares unexpectedly, joint pain can become a daily reality for millions of people that are living with autoimmune diseases. But joint pain isn't just about aging or wear and tear. In many cases, it's your immune system sending a sign that there's deeper inflammation at play. Today, we're diving into the complex relationship between autoimmunity and joint pain, and more importantly, what you can actually do about it. If you've been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, or psoriatic arthritis, if you have Hashimoto's and you wonder why your joints ache even when your thyroid levels are normal, or if you're struggling with undiagnosed pain, bouncing between specialists without clear answers, then this episode is for you. Because when it comes to pain management, the conventional approach often focuses on suppressing symptoms, usually with medications, and those come with their own side effects. Even at times when these are required, and they are sometimes required, there's still benefits from working on your joint pain naturally. So today we're moving beyond those basics. We're going to explore why autoimmune-related joint pain is often misunderstood and mismanaged. And we're going to look at the root causes of inflammation that are rarely tested for. And we're going to look at some of the latest science-backed strategies to reduce pain, protect your joints, and feel more like you again without having to rely solely on painkillers. So grab a notebook, get comfy, and let's rethink joint pain through the lens of functional medicine. So what's actually going on in the body when joint pain becomes part of your story? In autoimmune disease, your immune system starts mistakenly tagging your own tissue as a foreign body. The immune system comes out and destroys those cells. In many autoimmune conditions, the target becomes the joints. And this immune misfire leads to chronic inflammation both in and around the joints. And the immune system will release inflammatory molecules, so things like cytokines, interleukins, and TNF-alpha, that trigger pain and swelling and stiffness. And this is why so many people with autoimmune conditions will wake up with painful joints that can take maybe hours to loosen up. And one reason this happens is something that we call molecular mimicry. And it's when a virus or a bacteria or even a food protein looks a bit too much like our own tissues. So the immune system gets confused. It creates antibodies to attack the invader, which is exactly what the immune system should be doing. But those same antibodies start attacking the joints. So think of it as friendly fire. It's well-meaning, but actually it's destructive and it's destroying the wrong thing. So let's just look at some of the conditions that are most commonly associated with autoimmune joint pain. And some of these you've probably heard of. So first we have rheumatoid arthritis, where the immune system is primarily targeting those small joints. So things like the fingers and the wrists. And then we have lupus, And that can affect multiple organ systems, including the joints. So for some people with lupus, the joints is one of those systems that gets impacted. Then we have psoriatic arthritis, often linked with psoriasis. And this causes inflammation in both the skin and the joints. And then we have ankylosing spondylitis, so another one that you might have heard of. And this typically is going to impact the spine and the sacroiliac joints. And that leads to reduced mobility over time. So some autoimmune conditions are actually targeting joints specifically. But autoimmune joint involvement isn't limited to these conditions. Let's take Hashimoto's thyroiditis as an example. It's an autoimmune thyroid condition that is technically not a joint disease. But many people living with Hashimoto's will report aching joints, muscle stiffness, and even carpal tunnel-like symptoms. This is because systemic inflammation doesn't respect borders. So if the immune system is causing inflammation, the joints are often going to suffer, even if the disease isn't actually targeting them directly. And here's the issue, because this is where joint pain in autoimmune conditions is frequently overlooked or misdiagnosed. If we see somebody with joint pain and they haven't got an autoimmune disease diagnosed, we see that as a red flag for investigating whether there's something autoimmune going on. And that might not be autoimmune to the joints. It just might be autoimmunity in the body generally. So why is it often misdiagnosed or overlooked? It's because the symptoms can be quite vague. The chances are blood markers are going to look normal. And pain then gets chalked up to aging or stress. Or some people even get told that it's in their heads and there's nothing really there. In some cases, people start then bouncing around different doctors. So we can see people who are going to rheumatologists, they're maybe going to orthopedic consultants, they're going to endocrinologists, and they're really not getting anywhere. There's no kind of cohesive plan between them. They get left feeling very sort of unheard, untreated as well, and really kind of misunderstood. So much so that some people actually can start to believe that it is in their heads. This is where functional medicine changes the game. So what we do in functional medicine is we actually step back and we ask, what is driving this immune system confusion? What's fueling this chronic inflammation? And how can we then calm that down at the root so that the joints finally get a bit of a break and we can help to prevent that joint pain in the first place? So functional medicine, we always ask what's at the root. It's root cause medicine. What's driving the immune system? So let's take a look at some of the things, and there are lots of them, but let's take a look at some of the biggest culprits that can be driving this joint pain where we've got an overactive immune system or we've got autoimmunity. So let's start with gut health. So you might be thinking, what has the gut got to do with my knees or my hands or my fingers? Well, actually, quite a lot. The gut is where 70, 80% of the immune system lives, and it depends which study you look at, but it's over 70%. And if your gut barrier is compromised, so something that we call intestinal permeability or social media loves to call leaky gut, then particles like bacteria, food proteins, toxins, they can all sneak into the bloodstream. And what happens once they get into the bloodstream, because they shouldn't get into the bloodstream, is that the immune system is going to react. The only way to mop them up is for the immune system to activate. So it sees these particles that have got into the bloodstream that shouldn't be there as invaders, and it starts kicking off this inflammatory response. And over time, that can spill over into autoimmunity. Now, you have to have other factors at play. You've got to be genetically predisposed. So there's other things that have got to be there to create this perfect storm. Not every single person who gets intestinal permeability will end up with an autoimmune disease. But if you are at risk and you get this perfect storm, intestinal permeability is really common as a trigger for that sort of autoimmunity. So the gut plays a really big role in what's happening with the immune system. Quite often, if we look at the gut and we sort out what's going on in the gut, and we do that with comprehensive stool testing, then we see an improvement in joint pain or in joint stiffness. The next big culprit we get is chronic infections. These are things like Epstein-Barr virus, Borrelia, which is the Lyme disease bacteria, and even some low-grade gut infections. So things like yeast overgrowths, parasites, all of these things can constantly be triggering the immune system. And the immune system becomes so busy trying to mop up the infection, or it becomes so overloaded because you've maybe got some viral load and a little bit of yeast overgrowth and maybe one parasite, that it starts to misfire. And then it sort of is accidentally going to be, as we talked about with that molecular mimicry, attacking the body's own tissues, including the joints. So anything that is keeping that immune system activated is putting you at risk of having joint pain. The same goes for environmental toxins. So things like that mold exposure, heavy metals, pesticides, or even the endocrine disrupting chemicals. So things from plastics and cosmetics. These toxins all build up. They create oxidative stress. They disrupt your immune signaling and they push the immune system further into overdrive. And we don't have to just have one of these things. We might find that a person has got some intestinal permeability mixed with a bit of reactivated Epstein-Barr, mixed with some mold exposure, or just using lots of endocrine disrupting chemicals that have built up that sort of toxin load in the body. So sometimes there's multiple of these things going on, and that's what's driving the joint pain. Another sort of major trigger that we look at is food sensitivities. So we're not talking about allergies here. We're not talking about going into anaphylaxis. We're just talking about sensitivities. So some people get sensitive to gluten or to dairy, and those foods are more inflammatory to certain people. So they can create some subtle chronic inflammation. Gluten in particular has been strongly linked to that joint pain and autoimmunity. And it's one of the most sort of common cross-reactive foods, meaning that the immune system can mistake it for joint tissue in individuals who are susceptible. So not everybody needs to cut gluten out, but for some people, reducing that gluten load is going to help with that inflammation and therefore the joint pain. All of these triggers feed into what we call an inflammatory cascade. So this is this sort of biochemical process where the body is releasing cytokines like IL-6, TNF-alpha, interleukin-1, alongside markers like C-reactive protein, so CRP. And these are all driving inflammation systemically. So this isn't really a joint issue. And it's why many people with autoimmune-based joint pain also experience things like fatigue, brain fog, sleep disruption, and mood changes. Because the inflammation is actually affecting your entire body, especially the brain. So when we really see that sort of fatigue and brain fog with the joint pain, we really are looking beyond it being a joint condition. And this is why dealing with the joints alone often isn't enough. So injecting steroids into the joint or prescribing anti-inflammatories might bring some temporary relief, but won't solve the problem because they're not calming the immune system itself. They're just going to move the fire to somewhere else. So that immune system is still running in overdrive and you'll just get inflammation elsewhere. So in functional medicine, the goal is to ask what's triggering the immune system for that particular person, because everybody's triggers will be slightly different. What's keeping it inflamed and how do we restore that balance rather than just suppress symptoms? And when we do that, we're treating your body as a whole, not just the spot that's sore. And with that, we see those lasting changes. Clients who couldn't get out of bed without pain begin to move again. Energy returns, brain fog lifts, and the joints begin to calm down. And when joint pain becomes chronic, it does really make your world a lot smaller. You move less, you become more unhealthy because of that. You sleep less, you're more unhealthy because of that. And you just tend to trust your body less. You feel like you can't do as much. But there are ways to interrupt that cycle. And many of the most effective tools actually aren't about masking the pain. They're about calming that root of inflammation and supporting long-term healing. So let's have a look at some of these. I'm so excited to share that Optimal You has been shortlisted as a finalist at the Business Book Awards. And to celebrate, the Kindle edition is just 99p from now until I will be at the award ceremony on the 10th of September. If you've been meaning to dive into the book, now's the perfect time. Head to Amazon, search Optimal You by Nicole Good, or hit the link below this episode and grab your copy while this special offer lasts. Let's make optimal health more accessible and celebrate this moment together. Let's start with some lifestyle things that you can do, because honestly, this is where some of the biggest shifts happen. So the first thing is anti-inflammatory nutrition. Food is chemistry, and it communicates directly with your immune system. So every bite you take is either fueling the fire or helping to put it out. So we want to focus on anti-inflammatory whole foods. Things like omega-3 fats from wild fish, from flax seeds, from walnuts, they're all going to be really powerful at reducing joint inflammation, particularly the EPA and DHA. Polyphenols as well, so colorful fruits, vegetables, olive oils, green tea, all help to modulate that oxidative stress. Herbs, so things like ginger, turmeric, rosemary, oregano, really, really powerful antioxidants and naturally anti-inflammatory compounds that are going to support immune modulation and tissue repair. And crucially, we also need to avoid some of the big drivers. So some of the things that really spike inflammation in the body. So ultra processed foods, refined sugars, seed oils. So things like sunflower seed, corn oil, anything that is going to really spike that insulin or just create more gut dysbiosis. Even a few weeks of consistent anti-inflammatory eating can reduce joint pain dramatically. And I've seen this happen in patients that I've worked with. We can see results quite quickly. The second thing we can look at is sleep. We have to think of sleep as a pain modulator. So pain and poor sleep feed each other. When we don't sleep deeply, our body doesn't produce enough melatonin, which is not only a sleep hormone, but also a really powerful antioxidant that regulates inflammation. So one of the most overlooked but powerful tools is improving sleep hygiene. So maybe limiting blue light before bed, supporting your circadian rhythm with light in the morning, maybe using something like magnesium or calming herbs to support nervous system repair. When we prioritize sleep, we're reducing cytokines like interleukin-6, TNF-alpha, all those key players in that pain signaling. Then we've got to look at movement, and we want to look at gentle movement, because if you're in pain, movement's probably the last thing on your mind. But the right kind of movement is medicine, and there's always a right kind of movement for everybody. And if we don't move, we get worse. We start to get deconditioned. So we really do need to move the body, even if it's just some simple stretches. So really gentle but intentional forms of movement are going to help. Things like Pilates, which supports that alignment and core control, yoga, which is particularly restorative, or maybe yin styles that are going to calm the nervous system, mobility work as well, which helps to lubricate joints and prevent that stiffness, all of that is going to help. And all these types of movement actually stimulate the lymphatic system as well, which is going to help to reduce inflammation, promote circulation, and that's not going to place stress on the inflamed joints. The main key with movement is to do something consistently. So consistency over intensity. We don't need really strong exercise, particularly if you've got joint pain. We just need movement daily. So next, let's look at some of the innovations that are coming through that are getting more researched into how they can support inflammation and joint pain. So something like a red light therapy, low-level red light or sort of near-infrared light, it has been shown to reduce inflammation, and we're getting more and more research through on this. It's been shown to reduce inflammation, stimulate the mitochondria to repair, and improve joint mobility. So you can use a targeted panel at home, or you can seek out sort of more clinical grade devices, which they have in lots of wellness places now. Another one is infrared saunas. So sweating isn't just about detox. That's often when we talk about it, is when we're helping someone to detox. But it's also about signaling the body to lower inflammation and improve circulation. Infrared saunas penetrate deeper than the traditional heat, and they can support pain reduction and immune regulation. And then cold exposure is another one that comes up. And we have to take cold exposure with a little bit of caution. Cold plunges and cryotherapy can reduce pain, and they can reduce inflammatory signaling. But with autoimmune conditions, we have to tread carefully. So short, controlled exposure can be helpful, especially post-movement, but it isn't for everyone, and it will make some people feel worse. So we always need to assess tolerance, assess recovery time, and work out whether that cold exposure is right for everybody. For some people, red light therapy or infrared saunas may be more beneficial. So when it comes to joint pain and autoimmune disease, it's important to say upfront that there is absolutely a time and a place for conventional medicine. For many people, particularly those with conditions like rheumatoid arthritis or lupus, there are going to be disease-modifying anti-rheumatic drugs, corticosteroids, or biologics, and these can be really helpful tools. They can reduce inflammation quickly, they preserve that joint integrity, and they can help to prevent longer-term damage. So in some cases, these medications are going to create that stability that is needed for somebody to then be able to address the deeper root causes. And this is the key. We don't just want to take the drugs, even if they are part of the picture, and they may need to be part of the picture. But once you've got stable on those, you still want to work on the root causes. So for some people, they will be part of a necessary long-term plan, but they are still focusing on symptom suppression, not that root cause resolution. So the standard model tends to prioritize painkillers to reduce your discomfort, steroids to quickly dampen the inflammation, or maybe surgery if the joints are too damaged to recover. And while that is all fine, it's not asking those functional medicine questions of why is the immune system behaving that way? What's keeping it activated? on what can we do to support the body to heal rather than just silence the symptoms. Functional medicine isn't about being alternative. It's about being complementary, integrative, and proactive. In many cases, functional medicine is going to work alongside conventional treatment to enhance the outcomes and reduce the side effects. Or it might be supporting people in reducing medication safely over time, if that's appropriate. Or for some, it might be a standalone pathway. So some people just don't tolerate the medications well, and they really struggle to find one that they can cope with taking. For others, they may not be quite that bad that they need to take the medications, but they're also not comfortable and need to support the pain that is around and the lack of movement. So functional medicine is going to empower patients to take that active role in their healing. It's about more than just prescriptions. It's about understanding your body, and it can work alongside conventional medicine. And when we use this approach where we really look at the root cause, we see people not only relieve joint pain, but also regain energy, sleep better, experience fewer flare-ups further down the line, and even sometimes uncover previously undiagnosed triggers. So if we can find things like the mold or chronic viruses or gut infections, and we can clear those up, it's not just your joints that are going to benefit. So there will be other things going on in your body that also improve. As ever, functional medicine is not a one-size-fits-all model. So it's very personalized. It's a whole body approach. And it's looking at what are the things for you personally that are triggering that chronic inflammation. So if you are currently on medication for joint pain, then consider this. First of all, you don't have to choose. It's not an either-all situation. You don't have to choose conventional medicine or functional medicine. You can choose both, and you should choose both. Even if you choose to take the medication, you should still work on the root cause and find out what else can you balance in the body. So let's have a look at some of the things that you can do, some of the practical steps, because information is really powerful, but it's only powerful when you actually apply it. So if you're dealing with joint pain and you think there may be an autoimmune component, or you're unsure where this joint pain is coming from, or maybe you've already got another autoimmune condition and you don't know if it's connected, the first thing that you can look at is some lab work. So you can request some of this. Some of this you might be able to get through your GP or through your consultant. Others are more functional medicine based and you'll need a functional medicine practitioner. But we want to look at things like CRP and ESR to assess that general inflammation, ANA and rheumatoid factor for autoimmune screening, anti-CCP, especially relevant if you think it could be rheumatoid arthritis, vitamin D, so essential for that immune regulation, so we want to check your levels of that, a thyroid panel, including the antibodies, very important, particularly if you've also got other symptoms alongside. So if you've also got fatigue, maybe a bit of hair loss, some weight changes, definitely look at getting that thyroid panel with the antibodies. So the antibodies are TPO and TG antibodies. A comprehensive stool test. So this is going to be just functional medicine. You won't get this on the conventional medicine side, but really investigate that gut health, the infections, the imbalances, and see what's going on there. And maybe some mycotoxin or heavy metal testing. So again, that's going to be functional medicine based. Another thing you can do is just simple daily movement, as hard as it may seem, but actually even just 10 minutes a day can be enough to start reducing the stiffness and improve that lymphatic flow. And you can do something really simple. So maybe just in a morning, just doing joint circles, just moving whichever joints it is that's hurting, just doing some simple stretches. Or it might be 10 minutes of Pilates. It might be just a little bit of general yoga, especially if you're going to pair that with some breath work and work on that nervous system balance as well. Or it might just be a walk in nature, just 10 minutes outside, gentle walking. And we don't need to be power walking. A gentle walk will do. And then remember, the goal with movement is consistency, not intensity. It should feel really nourishing to move your body, not like you're punishing yourself. We can also look to some supplements. You should always check with your practitioner first before you start taking supplements, because they can interact with drugs or with health conditions. But some of the ones that we might look to if we're looking at joints and inflammation is omega-3 to help support that reduction in systemic inflammation, particularly if you don't eat much in the way of sort of oily fish. Things like liposomal curcumin, so turmeric, that can help to calm inflammatory pathways and doesn't irritate the gut. Or something like a PEA. So this is often overlooked, but it's a natural compound that is found in the pain pathways. And it helps to modulate chronic pain and immune overactivation. So that can be really beneficial as well. So that's some of the foundational supplementation tools that we might use, but you should always check with your practitioner before you start introducing those. And then remember to look at those foods. So foods to focus on and foods to avoid. Foods to focus on: those oily fishes, olive oils, avocados, nuts, seeds, the colourful fruit and veg, especially things like your leafy greens, your berries, your cruciferous veg, herbs and spices, so things like ginger, rosemary, oregano, turmeric, and bone broth as well, so collagen-rich foods and high-quality protein, and then avoiding those highly processed foods, especially anything with seed oils, refined sugars, artificial sweeteners, excess gluten and dairy. It might be useful to see if that is something that does benefit you, and alcohol and caffeine in excess as well, especially if you notice a connection between alcohol and caffeine and increased joint pain, because it can be triggering flares. But food can be your most powerful anti-inflammatory medicine. And then finally, as a little tip, self-track the pain. So look for some of these connections. Each day, jot down, what was your pain level? What was your energy level? What foods did you eat? Did you notice any difference after certain foods? So if you've reduced gluten, are you noticing less pain? If you increase alcohol, did you notice more pain the following day? And remember, it doesn't need to be immediately after a food. It might be the following day or the day after that you notice an impact. What movement have you done? Did it increase pain? Did it decrease pain? What supplements have you taken? And what was your sleep quality like? So if you can start to track some of these things, you can see what things help to reduce that pain level. And we start to see patterns emerging. And that can help to guide you and also help to guide your practitioner if you're going to decide to work with someone. So let's quickly just recap what we've covered today. We've looked at how autoimmunity can drive joint pain, not just in obvious cases like rheumatoid arthritis, but even in other autoimmune conditions like Hashimoto's, where inflammation is really affecting the whole body. We've looked at the root causes that conventional medicine often misses, so things like the gut health, the infections, the toxins, the food triggers. And we've talked about some of those innovative approaches as well. Anti-inflammatory nutrition, sleep, gentle movement, red light therapy, targeted supplements. We've also looked at how functional medicine can work alone or alongside conventional medicine to help you feel more in control of your journey. And if you want to dive deeper into this and look into functional medicine more, you'll find more tools and frameworks in my book, Optimal You, Supercharge Your Energy, Strengthen Your Immunity, which has got a full section on the immune system and inflammation. You can also join me inside the Good Health Clinic, where we work one-to-one with patients navigating autoimmunity, burnout, gut issues, and more. But we're always taking a root-caused and personalized approach. And if today's episode sparked something for you, do let me know. You can always reach out to us on social media. I recommend checking out past episodes as well of thyroid health and gut repair. And as well, we've got discussions on there on mold and immune dysfunction. They will all connect back to a bigger picture of inflammation and autoimmunity. So before we wrap up, just a little reminder, pain doesn't have to be your normal. Your body is always communicating with you and it can heal if we give it the right support. If this episode resonated with you, please share it with someone you know who might be navigating joint pain or autoimmunity. Don't forget to leave us a review or subscribe to the podcast. Thank you so much for listening and I'll see you next time on the Good Health Podcast.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Good Health Podcast. Do share the episode with anyone you think it may benefit and help us to spread the word on all things health and wellness by rating, liking, or subscribing to the podcast. If you want more, you can listen to more episodes on your favorite podcast app or sign up to my newsletter for my favorite tips, tricks, health advice, brands, recipes, and more at nicolegoodhealth.com/newsletter. Have a lovely week. Don't forget to hit subscribe and I'll see you on the next episode of the Good Health Podcast.